Phil Hendry.
And good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch here. I'm Phil Hendry, and last evening, I appreciate very much the understanding of my audience, as last evening, as the result of some other work we were doing. We did roll some best-of tape, and we also had that rolling on our website as well, and I also ask for the indulgence of our online viewers, because we had another streaming problem with the stream. You know, if you'll pardon the expression, the stream.
Why do they call it the stream? Is there anything else they can call it?
No, and we're not about to invent new words. It's called the stream. We had a little bit of a difficult time. It is the new. It is a new day. It's a new. I don't know, man. It's just a new day. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new day. It's a new. It's a new technologic day. It's a new.
Well, you like it's like Brave New World or something.
It's not Brave New World. It's just it's a new day, and no wonder there are people that are being lost and being left in the dust. There's everything is changing. I mean, the way that we're delivering, just in my business, entertainment, the entertainment business, it's the way we're delivering programs, the way that we're delivering movies. Do you understand that? I just saw Skyfall for sale, DVD. In a supermarket, right there with the chocolate bars and the pantyhose, and some guy standing there with a neck tattoo waiting to get his bottle of, you know, Mountain Dew, and
yes, man, it's look like Skyfall.
No, you're lying. Yeah, that's a lie.
No, it's not a lie. I just saw the James Bond movie.
Yeah, I think I saw that too.
No, the James Bond franchise since Daniel Craig has been involved is a very classy franchise. You are lying. You must...
Margaret, don't call me a liar. I'm telling you, and you can call up Frank or anybody you believe, these movies now are not in the theater for all that long. They want to rush them out on DVD. They want to put them out on pay-per-view. They want to get them out in your hotel room. As a matter of fact, I think I saw Skyfall and Lincoln before they were out of the theaters in in the Emperor's Suite at the Ritz-Carlton, which I'd broken into. I'm kidding. But the fact is...
The fact is what?
The fact is these films, they're getting them out of the theaters as fast as they can.
Yeah, and can't they make the money on a DVD?
Don't lie. I understand about the DVD. I understand about that. I do.
Okay, so what's so shocking about Skyfall being in a supermarket?
The way that you articulated that, the James Bond franchise is one of the most stylish and classic franchises in film history. And for you to sit there and tell me that a guy with a neck tattoo getting a bottle of Mountain Dew and standing there with his finger in his nose, I'm assuming that was the case?
I don't know, but let's say it was.
With his finger in his nose looking at... I don't believe
it. Yeah, I think it's true, Ms. Gray, because I've seen Skyfall. I did see Skyfall in two or three of the supermarkets I've been in.
Well, how many supermarkets you go to?
I go to several. I don't go to the same supermarket.
Why?
I don't want to give all my money to Vaughn's. I'm going to give all my money to Ralph.
It's Ralph's. It's not Ralph.
I understand that. That's what I said.
That's what... Margaret, take it easy.
You said you give your money to Ralph. You give them to Ralph, you give it Ralph's.
I give it to Ralph's, man.
Then say it.
He said it, okay?
Yeah, you give it to Ralph. Sounds almost... Well, I better not say.
Yeah, I wouldn't if I were you.
All right, well, whatever. Fact is, these films are going out... on a DVD, and they're on the rack, and they're in the rack, and they're in your rack, and you're in the rack, and you're in the rack watching them is what you're doing, because that's where the bread is. So, and again, this is what we say.
What did you just say? That's bleh.
I'm sorry, that's where the bread is. That's what I was trying to say.
You went, that's bleh.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to be more articulate.
Yeah, I'll try and be more articulate. Let's everybody shut up so I can finish, if you don't mind. Got a lot of news. Joan Rivers told a Holocaust joke, and it was very funny. All right. I'm kidding. I can't comment, okay? But it was one thing she did do is she said something that I've always said you should do. If you know what you're doing, if you feel you know what you're doing on the air, you should never have to apologize for anything. If you know what you're doing, you should never have to apologize for anything you do on the air. Joan Rivers told a joke. She knew exactly why she told the joke. She felt that it was thus and so. And when they said to her, well, you know, you have to apologize. She said, I'm not apologizing for anything, okay? Take that and stick that in your... Stick that in your glass pipe.
Oh, my God. Now you're calling those people that are in charge of the entertainment dissemination of information nothing more than mottled-faced crack...
That's right. It's not crack. It's crank. It's more methamphetamine than it is...
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, methamphetamine, what they call crank.
Good. In any event, so the delivery systems are there. The new product is there. In the audio entertainment business, we don't call it radio anymore. We call it audio entertainment, audio comedy. It's now podcasting, which, by the way, the new episode of the Bobby Dooley podcast, we're going to have Bobby on later to talk about it. Episode 3, and this is the part 2 of the Joel McHale interview, which it's just hysterical. And Bobby and Joel in this particular, in this second part of the two-parter, they really go at it as Joel McHale basically calls Bobby a liar, says that everything she says she knows is not true, and Bobby comes back at him with her usual fount of horse dung, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. So check that out. It's on iTunes. It is the, and it's also at our website. You just click on the banner, the podcast banner to the left, and actually it's not on the left anymore. It's that scrolling banner.
Yeah, we got the banners are scrolling across the top.
Right. So when you see that Phil Henry Radio banner scroll, hit that. That takes you to the podcast. It's a beautiful thing. All right, we do have some stories that are up front and personal, and right out of the gate, Joan Rivers under fire for Klum Holocaust joke. Let's check this one out. Margaret?
Yes, Joan Rivers, who's a dear friend of mine, and I don't know, apparently she made this comment. The comedian has sparked controversy over a joke she made about Heidi Klum in a sexy Julian McDonald dress. This was at the Elton John's AIDS Foundation Academy Awards party. Now, Joan has done a great deal of work for the AIDS Foundation. Joan is well-loved by everyone in entertainment. Her credentials, well...
Now, what do you mean, her credentials?
I don't want to go any further. Her credentials as a progressive voter are unsullied. Here is the joke. The last time a German looked this hot was when they were pushing Jews into the ovens... Rivers said, why is he laughing?
Now, hold on for a minute. Hold on.
Why are you laughing?
That is funny.
Just hold on for a minute. Joan Rivers did not apologize. Joan said the joke.
Phil, I saw it laugh.
It's not about Bud, and we're going to get off of Bud. I want to talk to you. Joan Rivers told a joke. She didn't apologize for the joke. She's a comedian. I'm assuming... She wanted people to laugh at that joke, or at least to recognize the irony, or at least to recognize the inherent humor or irony there, and say and think favorably of her. I'm sure she didn't say this joke so that people would think she's the scum of the earth. Do you think?
Well, of course not. No.
All right. So if she tells that joke and Bud laughs, you can't attack him.
But it speaks to his inherent. It speaks to what a piece of garbage.
Yeah, you want me to be garbage, but I'm not.
You laugh at that, you're garbage.
Is Joan Rivers garbage?
Of course she's not.
Oh, because she's a friend of yours, but she's the one that told the joke.
Phil, don't turn this around on me, please. That thing over there next to you laughed at this joke. Ne'er shall I ever forget.
Ne'er shall I ever forget?
No, Miss Ray, you sort of said the wrong thing.
That was my closing line. I don't want to have...
Ne'er shall I ever forget. You mean N-A-I-R?
Yeah, it's like they take the hair off of an armpit. Sorry.
I'm going to belt you.
I didn't say yes. No, not the hair, not the anti-hair. Nay, that's what I meant to say.
Well, you didn't say nay.
You didn't say nay.
But nay would make more sense on account of that's what a horse says. And it...
You filthy, crawling...
Margaret, one of these days you're actually going to hit him with the heel of that high heel. I mean, you were aiming right for his eyeball.
She was!
Oh, I know what I'm doing.
All right, so in any event...
You're trying to hit me right in the eyeball!
That's not the ball I was aiming at.
Hey! God, you act just like these guys. It's like you're 5 years old, okay?
No one told me when I took this job I'd have to put up with that. No one. No one informed me that. Had they informed me, I might have thought twice... before taking this job. But no one informed me.
All right, let's get back to this story about Joan Rivers. Now, Joan Rivers said what she said. Now, you know, one of the things I think is really important for people to understand is, and I know we're up against the break, I just want to say one thing, you can think about this. Nobody gets this. No one who isn't black or Jewish or a member of what one might call the indicted group or the offended group or whichever term you want to use. I hear a lot of white people say this. Hey, if he gets to say the N-word, why can't I? You know, if you got to ask that question, you already know the answer to that. You're just trying to make trouble, that's all. If you're white and you ask, why do black people get to use, or why do some black people use the N-word with far less repercussion than some whites, I got to tell you, you must already know the answer to that. You're just trying to start some trouble. Because if you don't know the answer to that, I really feel sorry for you. I mean, I don't know how many, I don't know how much you have in this world, but it's bound to get stolen sometime real soon. All right, we're going to be right back. We'll continue talking about this Joan Rivers joke. We got some news out of the NFL, including the raising of the salary cap. Ted Bell is going to be on to talk with us about that. And Bobby Dooley coming up next on her podcast to comment on the Joan Rivers situation. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth.
Thank you.
Is our
Thanks.
Bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I'll tell you, the bitch is here. The bitch is back, and I'm telling you.
Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show. I ain't saying it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think you wish.
Yeah, good. You could say you hope.
Yeah, you wish.
All right, Margo, we get it. You wish. We get it. All I was saying, folks, was wouldn't it be funny if you were at a golf tournament and let's say Tiger Woods, for whatever reason, didn't make the cut. And you're at the golf tournament on Friday or you're at the golf tournament on Saturday and there's Tiger Woods in line for a beer just like everybody else. Says, hey, Tiger, what's up, man? Yeah, this sucks, you know. Hey, yeah, give me two Millers, you know.
Yeah, you wish.
Are you going to keep saying that?
Phil, what is the likelihood that Tiger Woods is going to stand in line with sweating people like this? I don't understand.
It's not very likely. I'm saying, wouldn't it be funny?
Oh, it'd be funny, yes, but there's no chance, no chance at all. Tiger Woods is a world-class player. He has enough money. Tiger Woods has enough money to follow the tournament in his own small, specially designed helicopter. I'm sorry, Phil.
God, if you do it one more time, Margaret, you know what? I will. I'll tear up your contract and you're gone.
You're not getting rid of me. Not now that Bobby Dooley has a podcast.
Get it? Not. See? You sound all tarted up.
So
you're all talking about me.
Take it easy. Now that Bobby's got a pod, oh, get a load of this, huh?
No, you're not doing that.
You belch one more time.
Oh, I'm not allowed to belch. So in other words, let me just get this straight. I'm not allowed to have Hebrew national dogs for dinner.
What is it with you telling us what you had for dinner?
You didn't do that. You think that caused a belch? Anything caused a belch.
Hebrew national are kosher dogs, 45 calories, and they do cause, well, never mind.
Never mind. That's because you don't have the answer.
No, it is not. It's because you imbeciles, excuse me for saying, Phil, but you clods would not be able to understand me. And I say that with great respect for you, not for them.
I wouldn't be able to understand why Hebrew national dogs cause more gas. I got a great idea.
Yeah, once you stop eating all the gas food, then it won't cause a gas.
What?
I said, once you stop eating the gas food, then it's not going to cause a gas.
He's saying...
I heard him, because it's good for... You wouldn't understand, bud. What do you eat? What did you have for dinner tonight?
Pork rinds.
Pork rinds? You got to start eating better than that, man.
Yeah, well, it makes me happy. Like I have a pork rind.
Oh, God.
All right, Bobby Dooley joining us here on the line from the Western States Homeowners Association. We're going to discuss with her a part two of the Joel McHale podcast that she has done. It's fantastic stuff. Bobby, how are you?
I'm doing good, Phil. Thank you for having me on.
And Bobby, Joel McHale, a two-parter, huh?
Yes, Joel was just delightful and decided to stay another hour. We figured that he would because he's a great guy, and he was having a lot of fun. We got into so many different questions about, you know, he's married and he has a child and everything like that.
Well, what's unusual about that? Bobby, this is Margaret. Is that the extent of what you got out of him?
No, that's not the extent, Margaret, but I don't want to start an argument with you, okay?
Well, no, I don't argue.
I heard what you said, that I don't want to go off the... Not as long as Bobby has a podcast. You know, I talk to a lot of stars. You talk to a lot of stars. I talk to a lot of famous people. You talk to a lot of famous people.
Well, it's true, but you see, Ian...
Hold on for a minute. I'm interviewing Bobby.
Oh, baby. So in other words, I'm going to be sitting here...
Yeah, he's interviewing me. Me. Bobby Dooley. For the first time in my life, someone's paying attention to me.
Okay, Bobby, you just go right ahead and you take the spotlight. What a...
Oh, man, I heard what you said. I think it went out of my... You better dump it.
So I heard what she said what?
I heard her say it, too. It's a C word.
You know something? You can go to hell for lying. Bud, we already know you're going there. Now you're going to double plus hell.
What's that?
You don't know what double plus hell is.
Get out of here with double plus hell. Did you say that word or not?
No, I think I heard it, too.
Now I... Bobby, you're going to burn...
I know, in double plus hell. You know, it was high school that I read 1984.
You're not leaving.
I'm not leaving. I'm going... I'm going to go smoke a joint. Goodbye.
All right, that's,
Oh, my God. Did she say what I heard her say?
Yeah. Are you really?
None of your beeswax.
Can't you go to go smoke when I call the cops? I'd be happy to call a cop.
No, don't call a cop. Just as long as you ain't doing it on the premises.
What?
Just as long as you ain't doing it on the premises.
Do what?
What you said you were going to do.
I forget.
But make sure she's not blasting a joint up in here.
Can't do it in here.
Oh, my God, Phil. Is she actually going to blast up? Oh, my God.
Boy, that sounded kind of interesting coming from you.
What?
Oh, my God, Phil, is she going to blast up?
Well, I know. Oh, right, I'm a babe in the woods.
Yeah, come on, Mr. Henry, big roll up, a little tiny baby. Know all about it.
Okay, Steve, thank you very much. I want to talk to Bobby.
All right.
I said I want to talk to your wife.
All right, sister, we're not tiny babies.
He's looking out for his wife. I'm sure you understand. Steve's looking out for his wife. For me. For his esposa. I like that word, esposa, huh?
Yeah, esposa. Esposo, guess what that is?
Husband.
How do you know?
Gee, I don't know, man. I just, I took a wild guess.
That is, do you speak Spain? Or not Spain, do you speak Spain?
Do I speak Spain?
I'm sorry, I mean Spanish?
No, I do not. I speak restaurant Spanish, okay?
What's that?
Restaurant can we get back to the interview?
Yeah, but I don't know.
Restaurant Spanish is how to order tequila, or how to order water, how to order food. That's restaurant Spanish. Yeah, you got a match. Where's the can? That's restaurant Spanish.
Is that like speaking Spanish?
All right, are we done?
I'm sorry.
Steve, I'll do it. God, you're butting in. Anyway, Phil, to get back to your questions, Joel is delightful.
All right, so you're doing a two-parter with Joel McHale. Who's up next?
We have Sugar Ray Leonard, who will be coming up following Joel McHale. He was very interesting. Sugar Ray Leonard comes from a very big family. He has a big family. And it's all about family. And I just noticed something. I've been around Steve's family. They're from Wisconsin. So when I say family, a lot of the Wisconsin's coming out of me, Steve.
Well, I put it up in you.
Oh, Steve, stop it.
Okay, could we watch it with the crudity?
He said to watch it with the crudity.
Get him.
Come on, Phil, lighten up.
All right, all right. So Bobby Dooley on the line with us here from the Western States Homeowners Association. Her podcast, which is with Bobby Dooley. It's part two of the Joel McHale interview, has dropped today. Check it out on your favorite podcast.
Oh, my God, Steve, Phil called a podcast a podcast.
Yeah, that kind of probably happens with alcohol.
Yeah, Steve said that kind of mistake happens a lot with people who overindulge in alcohol. I know that's not the case with you.
I think it probably happens with people who are a little bit tired, and that's kind of where I am. Podcast, and that is dropping, part two of the Joel McHale dropping today.
That is correct, Phil. You're cute, Phil. I do. I get a kick out of you.
All right, Bobby Dooley with us here, 877-876-PHIL. The other question I had for you, Bobby, now is about the Joan Rivers. I know we're coming up against a break, but very quickly, your opinion of Joan Rivers' comment, the Heidi Klum comment.
Well, I think when she said, what did she say?
Talking about Heidi Klum. Yeah, you gotta shove Klum into an oven.
Yeah, I don't think...
No, that's not what she said. She didn't say shove Heidi Klum into an oven. She was talking... Do you know the comment?
I know she said something about someone getting shoved into an oven.
She said that all right, let's take a break. She said the outfit that Heidi Klum was wearing was so hot It's hotter than a German that just got done shoving Jews into an oven.
Oh, okay. I understand. Uh-huh.
Okay, well, we'll be right back to get... I don't know. Yeah?
I'm done.
You're done smoking your joint?
I didn't smoke it.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Heidi Klum got shoved into an oven.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Later on, we have Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills to talk about the NFL salary cap. Ted wants to also get into a little more of the sporting discussion. He's as you know, he has the Prime Rib Room, which is basically it's a sports bar on weekends, especially when they have major sporting events on television. You've been over to, I know you guys have been over to the, Bobby, over to the Ted's of Beverly Hills?
There was a little bit of work that we did for Ted. I don't want to get into it, but it was not a pleasant experience for us.
Okay.
I happen to have some bad... You want me to say?
Go ahead.
There was a problem that the Dooleys had with the Grays, let's put it that way, and I don't want to go any further, Phil. And in order for them to work out what they owed us...
Now, wait. Was this a civil action...
I don't want to go any further. I know that Margaret's entitled, and I will give Margaret this much, that she has not brought it up before.
Well, you know I'm going to do my homework.
I'd appreciate it if you just not bring it up, Phil.
So what happened?
What happened was this. The upshot, Bobby and Steve had to work the tables at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Work the tables?
That's correct, yeah.
What was that?
You want me to say?
What we did, Phil, is we went table to table, talking and greeting. It was basically a greeter's job. We worked this out with Frank Gray, Margaret's husband. He happens to be friends with Mr. Bell. I really don't want to talk about it.
Well, now hold on for a minute. We're not going to talk about it, Bobby, but this was as the result of a settlement between myself and my husband and Ms. Dooley and her husband as the result of...
Don't say it, please.
I'm not going to. I'm looking for the word. As the result of a disagreement in an alley behind the sit and sleep on Ventura.
All right, see, I think you went too far there.
How did I go too far?
When you brought up alley.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, wait a minute.
When you brought up alley, obviously people are going to think one thing.
What do you mean, one thing? If I bring up Allie...
Well, I got to think about, they can bring up a glass pipe.
Yeah, they think you're going to the pipe.
What do you mean, going to the pipe?
But saying that you brought up Allie, so if it's not going to the pipe, if it doesn't have anything to do with a glass pipe, then what else?
Do you think I'm talking about dropping your pants?
No, for God's
sake. Hey, but Dylan, you know exactly what you're doing, Miss Gray. Making me look like an ass? Make my wife look one?
You know what? Give the phone back to your wife, because she, even though she's not that bright, she makes more sense.
She wants to talk to you.
If you're talking about an alley, Margaret, and you're not talking about pulling your pants down or sucking off a glass...
Let me guess, okay?
I wish you wouldn't, Phil.
All right, okay, then I won't. If you don't want me to, Bobby, I won't, but I think I know. So, this is the result of what happened in an alley behind the Sit and Sleep on Ventura Boulevard.
Yes.
And, Bobby, you and Steve worked the tables.
Yes, we did. And this is far afield of me coming on your program and talking about the Bobby Dooley.
My wife came on talking about Bobby Dooley's podcast.
Oh, this is really good. Are you going to speak for her, Mr. Dooley?
Yes, I am. You made her look bad?
Steve, you're blowing it.
I'll do it. My wife, you upset my wife. And, anyway...
Hey, Steve, you're not too articulate, you know.
I know, but I...
Give me the phone back. My husband, I love him very much, but he might as well have a mouthful of, you know what. So,
all right, we'll get off of that and get back to Joan Rivers. But the fact is, you were at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Yes, I was.
That's all I wanted to bring up, because Ted's going to be here next hour talking with us about the NFL salary cap.
You don't want the juicy details, huh?
No, I don't. And if she doesn't want you to say...
You know something, Phil? You can talk about it once we're off the air, okay? I thank you very much for having at least the courtesy, Phil, not to bring it up while we're on the air. Once Steve and I hang up, that's fine.
All right, it's your reputation.
I, you know something, Margaret? It's fine. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about, but I'm glad I'm not you. I thank God every day.
Well, you know something? Same goes to you.
I thank God every day. I thank God every day that I'm not you. Oh, how I thank God I'm not you. Oh, I thank God.
You know, she's really rude.
All right, all right. Joan Rivers with the joke. The joke goes that I haven't seen an outfit that high. I haven't seen a German look that hot since the Germans were shoving Jews into an oven. Your take on that, Bobby?
Well, I don't really know a lot about it.
Now, this is a woman, ladies. I have to say this. This is a woman who didn't even know what Dachau was, and she was eating a box lunch while she was going through it.
You are so stupid. No, I was not. I ate the box lunch on the coach on the way to the Oktoberfest. Now, hold on to that.
I beg your pardon.
Take it easy, will you? Quit buttoning, Margaret. I'm talking to them.
Thank you, Phil. I think it was a comment that was made in the baddest taste. When Steve and I went to Dachau and we looked at everything, we didn't know what it really meant. We had a box lunch, yes, but we were hungry. We went down to Oktoberfest. We had Sauerbraten, too. And when coming back to the hotel, the man who had a tattoo on his arm, and I didn't know what it meant, but he said, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, I do appreciate how dumb you are. Let me explain to you what Dachau was. Or I mean Dachau, right?
Yeah, Dachau.
And he told us. And we were ashamed. We were ashamed for ourselves. We were ashamed for Germans. We were ashamed for German, you know, German people from America. Everything. And we've stopped. And I know this isn't a big thing. And I know you probably will make fun of this, but we're doing what we can. And we used to love, you probably laugh, but we love German potato salad. We don't eat that anymore. We don't eat
hot mustard.
So that's what you think is a big deal political statement, huh?
We're doing what we can, Phil.
You know, it's not about boycotting anything. It's about understanding history. It's just about understanding what happened. If you don't, if you refuse to understand history, if you refuse, as we like to say, the lessons of history, and there are many of them, then you only have yourself to blame, and it is only your own life and the life of your children that will be affected. And that's just it.
Oh, my God.
Yay! That's great, Mr. Henry. That's fantastic.
I am very proud of you, Phil, for that comment. I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah. You know, kudos, Phil, real good, because Steve and I are the ones that are left as a wipe mark on toilet paper. Thank you, and good evening.
Can we get one person on the show that doesn't hang up on us?
Yell at me for
it. I'm yelling at her because she's on every week. You want to prime these guests. There's such a thing as preparing the guests. I want you to talk to these guests and tell them, here is the area of discussion. I don't want them going any further afield, okay?
Phil, you were the brain surgeon that brought up the Heidi Klum joke to her.
Because she'd been to Germany and because they'd had that whole thing where they, Steve and Bobby, if you don't know, and it's on one of our best of CDs, they went to Germany, they visited Dachau, they came off sounding like a couple of imbeciles because they didn't know where it was they were going. They just knew it was on the tour. And they went, oh, well, let's go and see that. And they had a box lunch, and basically the whole thing was a disaster from the standpoint of what people wound up thinking of them, and I don't blame people. Bobby and Steve came off like a couple of imbeciles. So when they finally, you know, got back to the States and realized what happened, they started looking up these things, started doing some reading. I don't know if they're any brighter today than they were then, but at least... And now, of course, they're taking endless crap from you, Margaret, and...
My husband is Jewish as well, hello.
Okay, that's fine, I understand that. You're not the one that made the joke, though. And to be honest with you, it was Joan Rivers' family. Let me read the quote here from Joan Rivers. When asked for comment, Rivers, who is Jewish herself, told The Hollywood Reporter, my husband lost the majority of his family at Auschwitz, and I can assure you that I've always made it a point to remind people of the Holocaust through humor. That's a fantastic statement. This is a woman that knows exactly why she told the joke she told. She is a humorist by profession. And there is a big difference. I'm sorry, I have to say it. There is a big difference between a Jewish person telling a Holocaust joke and a black person. Now, if Jewish people want to react to her, I think that's in the family. If black people want to react to an individual using the N-word, that's in the family. What I do not understand, what I will not countenance, and I don't even put up with it when white people or members of another group will say, "How come he gets to say that word and I don't get to say it?" You know.
Well, you always make them sound like rednecks. Why are they rednecks?
Yeah, how come can't a regular white guy say it instead of one of them kind?
Instead of one of them kind?
Well, you know, no white man, if you want to say the N-word, you go right ahead and say the N-word, okay? But I'm going to react to that different.
You're going to react violently if a white guy says it.
Yeah.
Why? Why would you do that?
Because that just is just different, that word coming out of a white man's mouth.
Well, I think that's very unfair, Robert. You know that I'm liberal. You know that...
No, ma'am, I do not know you're liberal. I'm not even saying you're right. If you were to say the N-word to me...
Are you going to hit me?
I'm not going to hit you. You're a lady, but I would be very, very angry. If he did, I'd hit him.
Yeah, that's not fair.
Bud, you're an idiot if you don't understand what I'm trying to say. And I'm not even going to comment on what you said, Robert, because you know what? I know you know that what you're saying is wrong. I don't blame you for having angry feelings. But you go on, you take off on somebody and you commit a violent and you assault them for saying that word. 9 times out of 10, it's going to come back on you, reflecting bad on you. Nobody's going to understand.
But you're upset. You told your kids.
I know I did. I told my kids who are my stepkids, whose father is Jewish, so the kids themselves have Jewish blood. And one of them got baited at school one day by a friend of his who called him Bagel Boy. And
what did he called him what?
Bagel Boy. So I said to him, here's what you say to your friend. You say, you're my friend, you know, however you want to communicate to him. Don't say that again. It I don't like it. It hurts me. It hurts my family. And you know, let him know. If he's a friend of yours, then he's going to respect that. And I said, if he says it again, go ahead and hit him.
See, that is very irresponsible, Phil.
I don't know what else to... I don't think... I got to be honest with you. If he says, teacher, he called me... You know, this is where you begin to socialize on certain levels. And there's some things... I don't know what else to say. There's some things that you cannot let go. And even a couple of kids like that, where that child learned to say Bagel Boy, whoever taught him that, and it was an adult, to call a Jewish kid that, you know, I think that there's only one way for that, for a kid who's the target of that, to respond. You say, for one time, you're my friend, I don't want to hear that again. And then
the second time he's supposed to haul off and whack the guy or clock him or whatever you call it.
Yes. Let me put it this way. I would understand if he did. All right, we're going to take a break. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
Yeah, get some email. People be mad at you.
What else is new? World famous Phil Hendry Show, Ted Bell coming up next hour.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Ask him not to do that.
Bud.
They just asked, would that be a good title?
No, it would not be a good title. Why would that be a good title?
That would be a good title for a porn film.
No, that'd be a good title for... In a humor.
That thing would be a good humor title.
I do not think it would be, okay?
Well, you got your opinion, I got mine, he got his opinion.
Well, the only opinions that count here are first Phil, then mine... Then Robert's, and then yours.
Wait, I wouldn't put it that way.
Oh, I see. All right. I am dutifully shut down. The girl will sit down now. The woman will keep her mouth shut.
Oh, come on, Margaret. I'm not saying that.
Well, go ahead. Tell everyone.
I'm not going to say it.
I will.
Go ahead.
I thought a good name for a movie, a political movie, would be, well, better not say.
Yeah. One in the hand, Bud's title was One in the Hand is Worth Two in the Bush, although what he had in the hand was...
Obscene.
Well, the word is not obscene. It starts with a P, but...
Which word?
Take a guess.
Three guesses and the first two don't count.
Shut up, man. I'm asking Phil. I'm not asking you.
I'm not going to tell you, man. It's a word that I don't want, even though it is the clinical word, in this context, I don't want to use it. One in the hand is worth two in a bush.
What? That is absolutely vulgar. And not only that, but it is anatomically, I don't understand what he's going for. Two in the bush.
Yeah, you know, DP.
Shut up about DP. And I'm going to kick your ass. You know that?
You said I could say...
I didn't say you could say that DP. World famous Phil Hendry Show, getting less famous as the seconds tick down.
That's for sure.
Yeah. We got Ted Bell joining us next hour, who'll be talking about the NFL. Ted wants to do more sports. He wants to, as a matter of fact, he said, Phil, could you bring me on the show and not have the jingle, which, is Bobby gone, by the way?
Yeah, she hung up, man. She hung up on you, man.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I should have remembered. Ted wants to do more by way of reporting on the show as a commentator, and he doesn't want to have the Ted Bell jingle playing. And I said, well, look, Ted, you know, if you come on the show not as Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, that means you're like a contributor. And he said, yeah. And I said, well, that means you sort of have to qualify as an actual broadcaster as opposed to just being a sponsor. And man, did that ever upset him.
Well, he should understand, Phil, that one needs to have, as we say, the chops.
You got chops. Pork. You got pork chops.
Pretty good pork chops. Yeah, great.
Yeah, that's real funny. All right, so that's going to be coming up next hour. Meanwhile, in other sporting news here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, first of all, our website, philhendryshow.com, has live streaming video of the show right now. Check it out on your mobile or otherwise at philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can take us anywhere you want to go. We got a beautiful picture. I was just demonstrating, in fact, to our viewers that if you take a look at the if you take a look at the picture on the internet, and then I go back to my live picture here. I was going back and forth between the actual internet picture and then the live picture on the monitor. There's no difference. The quality is superb. Absolutely no question. No difference at all. So pick up a BSP, and while you're at it, you can enjoy the new podcasts, which are out. We have a new one every day, and also the new Bobby Dooley, which is the Bobby Dooley podcast. Got other news, though, before we get into the National Football League and what is happening there. The National Football, in terms of the salary cap, the National Football League is going to be trying out a lot of players. As they have the free agent camps, they have their scouting combines, they have the college free agents. They got all kinds of different ways to figure out who they want to have on their rosters. There is an individual who will be in the midst of all of these people trying out, a female kicker. And, you know, every so often we hear about a female trying out for a place on a National Football League roster. And I would say just about every time, I can't think of any other time, she is a kicker.
Well, that would stand to reason.
Well, they had another one.
Yeah, I'm sure they had a different one.
Like who?
They had one, I think they had a defensive end.
A defensive end?
What's that?
A defensive end.
What is a defensive end?
Hold on, Margaret. You hearing what you're saying?
Yeah, but it was a defensive end.
How do you know, man?
Yeah, well, he said...
I think it was a defense. I know they had a kicker, they had a defensive end, and they had a fullback. Those are the ones.
Fullback and defensive end.
Would someone please explain what that is?
Yeah, defensive end is the guy that punched the ball.
No, he isn't. A defensive end is generally about 6'8", 350 pounds. It's a guy that rushes the passer from the ends. It's a guy that he plays the on one side or the other of the defensive line. Generally, he's a pass rusher. A lot of times, he plays back on pass defense, short pass defense, and he helps in a run stop. But his primary job is to rush the passer, play the run, that kind of thing.
And how big?
They're pretty big. But why are you saying a woman can't do that?
How many women are going to go out for defensive end 6'7"? You know, defensive ends, man.
First of all, defensive end, I look it up. Defensive end ain't weighing no 350.
Yeah, you're talking about offensive line.
Well, it's fine, offensive line. Let's say it's a defensive end. Let's say 6'3", 270, okay? 6'3", 270. Oh, yeah. I bet you there's tons of women like that all over the place.
Well, I think, Phil, it is. Women are getting healthier. Women are beautiful. And I think, I really believe this. And younger women, they're growing them bigger. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, they may be growing them bigger. We're talking not only just height, we're talking about weight. 6'3"?
Didn't you just say the other day that women is tall?
Women are getting taller. There's no question. You look at a lot of women in their 30s. Look at a lot of women in their 30s, and you're going to see more women approaching the 6-foot mark now than 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. I'm telling you. I just, that's the way it seems to me, you know.
Don't start talking about who you're dating, okay?
I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying. I stood in line one day. I think I mentioned this for coffee. I was at a Starbucks, and I stood there, and it was one of those moments where you have this realization, slow creeping realization. As I stood there, I kind of had this uneasy feeling. I was in line, and I looked around, and I suddenly realized that every single person in line was taller than me, including about half of them who were females.
Taller than you? How tall are you?
I'm 6 foot. Now, understand what I'm saying. The guys are all 6'1", 6'2", 6'3". The women were 6'1".
Oh, my.
Your ass.
I didn't say
ow.
Look, you know, all right. We'll be right back. We'll to be continued. We can talk with Ted about this. Ted Bell coming up next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on NFL salaries and more on this female kicker trying out for a spot in the National Football League. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Whatever.
Oh, whatever. Okay.
Phil, I'm sorry for hanging up on you. I think I left my earring in the bathroom there.
You were on the phone.
Oh, that's right. Never mind. Sorry.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show, hour number two. And
why did you? I told you, Phil, don't do that.
No, you're right. You're right. Hour number two is.
Yeah, it's all redundant and say you sound like a hack.
Thank you. Anyway, welcome to our show. Welcome back. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry here along with Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and Margaret Gray as we talk about the issues of the day, the important stuff, the stuff that moves you, grooves you, and makes you feel like you want to just jump up and jump out loud and sing and then leap from the fifth floor of a building. And I don't know, whatever it is that floats a boat, maybe not yours. We have Ted Bell with us here. We're going to bring him on the line in just a moment to talk about some things having to do with the National Football League. But first, this word from Peenemann Enterprises. Well, I'm kidding about that.
What was Peenemann Enterprises anyway?
That's what he did on the Art Bell thing.
When we did the Art Bell bits. And there's a lot of people who want us to return to doing Art Bell bits. And I'm loath to do it only because Art has retired, as you know. And I just don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know. Art is a great guy, and we enjoyed doing the Art Bell bits. Maybe we'll do it just as a...
No, do it like a what do you call, homage?
Not a homage. It's an homage.
What?
Homage. That's the French.
Homage?
What did I just say? I said homage, not homage.
Okay. In any event, we may, but... Our Backstage Pass is really what I want to talk to you about. With the Backstage Pass, you're a subscriber to the website. You're a subscriber to all things Hendry. You become a member of the family. You become a part of the DNA, the genetic code of this radio show. You become a part of, just be forewarned, every mood, every anger, everything that has ever bothered me in life, everything that I ever celebrated in life, everything that does, you will become a part of that. Your life will be a turmoil turned upside down. I may call you in the middle of the night and cuss at you and swear and use dirty words because I just need someone to talk to. So join us at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com with a Backstage Pass, live streaming video of the show, over 10 years worth of full shows, 5,000 hours. We have podcasts. We've got other video casts. We've got interviews, radio interviews. We have an entire press section. If you're a member of the media, you can contact us through the website. And you can say, hey, Phil, how you been? What's up? If you're an affiliate, confused as to who's affiliating the show, who is actually syndicating the show, and we have many questions like that, you can ask us. And we'll be happy to help you at philhendryshow.com. All right, Ted Bell on the line from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Where is he, bud?
Hold on for a minute. He told me to hold on because they were seating a big party. And he said as soon as we're done seating the big party, then they'd be happy to bring him. Get him. Here it is.
Hey, Ted, are you there?
Yeah, Phil, Ted Bell here from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I'm glad that you did not bring in the jingle. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we're not going to. You don't want to use the jingle. Why?
I think you already explained that to the audience. I think that what we are trying to do is to show a multifaceted side. I'd really rather not spend so much time talking about it. If it's all the same to you,
Ted. Hi, it's Margaret.
Hi, Margaret.
So you want to be a sports reporter? Is that it?
No, it's not that I want to be a sports reporter. It's nothing quite that amateurish. I don't really want to put it that way.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put it that way, but I'm saying you don't want to talk so much about the restaurant.
Well, I don't think I've ever really talked about the restaurant on Phil's show. When we were a sponsor of the show by way of the restaurant. But now what I want to do is show what I can do, and I don't even want to say I want to. In other words, I'm giving too much information. What I'd like to do is just come on the show very professionally and have Phil introduce me professionally. And now Ted Bell, with his view of, sports, although I don't want to sound like I'm the guy that they bring on to do the sports report, because that makes me sound, you know what I mean, Phil? That makes me sound like I'm some little cheap, some little cheap punk. And I don't mean punk, but. Well, look, I don't want to have to. Margaret, would you not ask me so many questions?
I'm not asking. What I wanted to know is why you're on the show without the commercial.
I'm saying to Phil, and I'm saying to you, and I'm saying to Phil's listeners, I want to be on the show as a sports voice, someone who talks about sports.
And also you on the restaurant.
I don't want to mention the restaurant.
So, in other words, if I'm getting this.
We already talked about this, so for you to say, in other words, if I'm getting this, is a little dishonest. You and I talked about this, didn't we?
I understand that we talked about it, Ted, but so I can explain to the audience.
The audience doesn't need it to be explained to them. The audience, all the audience knows is what you tell them. If I come on and you say, now Ted Bell is going to join us, and you don't say anything about what I do, whether I own a restaurant or what have you, And then I come on the program and I just talk about the things that I observe in the world of sports and that I can give a little bit of my enlightenment to the people that are listening out there to the sports world, then that's all they need to know, and I think they're going to believe that.
So if Phil has you on...
Oh, for God, why am I having to explain it? Okay?
Ted, why you wound up, man? We're just asking why, how we bring you on.
I'm getting wound up because if you brought on Bob Costas, would you go, here's Bob Costas, who is not a sponsor, Bob Costas?
No, I wouldn't do that because everyone knows who Bob Costas is.
Do people know who I am?
They know who you are, but you're not a sports reporter.
And why do I...
I'm sorry.
No, it's me. It's me. It's me. It's me. It's me. I've been working so long with this restaurant. I have been breaking my you-know-what for so long with this restaurant, Ted's of Beverly Hills, that I can't see the forest for the trees anymore. I'm trying to bust out. I'm trying to do something different, trying to do something with my life. You understand, Phil?
I understand, yeah.
I mean, do you understand that when I come home at night, and Margaret, please just allow me.
Ted, I will allow you all the time you need.
When I come home at night, I stink of grease. I stink of grease. I stink of I stink of garlic and grease. That's what I smell like. When you come home from work at night, what do you smell like, Phil? Well, I bet you that you probably smell pretty good. I know that you take a shower. I know that you use underarm deodorant, so you probably don't stink that much. And even Bud probably comes home.
Well, Bud probably stinks. He probably stinks of the pizza box.
Well, all right, but...
Yeah, that's true.
But when I come home at night, I smell like a grease trap. I've been standing in a kitchen. I've been going between a kitchen and a dining room. I've been fetching things. I'm getting something because a kid threw up. I'm getting some butter. I'm getting a little extra this. I'm saying hello to people whose guts I hate. I'm laughing and backslapping individuals that I would rather see burn alive in a car fire. I am...
Good God, Ted!
Well, that's the... What do you think all the restaurant's about, anyway?
Ted, that is absolute, murderous, horrible hypocrisy.
Oh, it's hypocrisy! Oh, man, are you ready for this? I have a living to make. I've got a wife and a kid to feed, all right?
Well, you do a very good job with it. So I can't imagine that you would be glad-handing and backslapping someone who you wanted to see burn in a car fire.
Please, allow me this. Let me explain what I do for a living. Is that all right with you?
Ted, I don't think anyone...
Is that all right with you, Ms. Gray, and you, Mr. Henry? If you let me explain what I do for a living, you can explain what you do for a living. Margaret, you can explain what you do for a living, what Frank does for a living. That's fine. But let me tell people what I do for a living. And what I do for a living is I fetch. Okay? Now, let's start talking a little bit. Let's talk some turkey, all right? Let's talk turkey.
Hey, talk some turkey, Mr. Bell.
That's... Oh, man, not him. He's anything but him.
Bud, let me just, you know, handle this.
Let's... Thank you, Phil. Let's talk some turkey, okay? I fetch. That's what I do. I fetch. Just like a dog. Just like I fetch. Hey, you. Hey, you. I had a guy say that to me the other day in my own place. I'm in Beverly Hills. I got one of the top steakhouses of the West Coast. I had a guy say to me, hey, you, will you go get me some creamer for the coffee? And I could have, I swear to God, Phil, at that moment, I wanted to take, we had just brought out the soups. And we had a buffet that evening, and they had just brought out the chicken noodle, and I wanted to take an entire bucket of chicken noodle and bury that pot on that guy's head and just listen to the screams as the scalding soup ran down his face, his neck, and eventually settled in a nice hot puddle in his crotch.
That's anger.
Yes, it is.
Better believe it.
Where are you, Ted?
I don't know.
So you're frustrated with your life, huh?
I'm not frustrated with my life. I want to do something else. I want people to see that I'm more than a guy standing there in a nice looking suit. So, oh, hey, how you doing? That's great. I love everybody. You dirty, filthy.
I mean, do you actually have every night people coming into your restaurant whose guts you hate?
Yes. What do you think this is anyway? I'm in the restaurant business. Is that a private club?
Well, Ted, it's not worth it. It just is simply not worth it.
Hey, well, hold on for a minute. Can I just ask something?
Go ahead.
I thought I was coming on here to talk about the football.
You are.
Then what am I going through this psychoanalysis with you guys for?
You were the guy that started talking about all this stuff happening in your life. You people, you hate their guts.
Yeah, I don't want to fetch. You mind? I'd like to do something else with my life than go and fetch butter and creamer and clean up some kid's spit up and clean up some old guy that puked. And tell a guy to go into the bathroom and mop something up and tell somebody, get a waitress to do this and get a waiter to do that and get our bartender to do that. I swear to God, our bartender, right now, the biggest job he's got is keeping my glass filled. That's how bad it's getting for me. The biggest job that Armin's got is to make sure he keeps my glass filled. I don't care about anybody else.
You're drinking on the job.
Yeah, that's right. I'm drinking on the job.
Just like your father.
That's dirty pool, Phil.
No, just like your father.
It's true, Ted.
And you're going to wind up like him, too.
Well, that's why I want to do the sports thing.
All right, we're going to do the sports thing. We've got to take a break.
We've
got to take a break. Okay, wow. Ted Bell is with us. We'll be right back. Talk about the NFL, salary caps, and more. Female kicker trying out. No more about Ted and the fact that Armin's got to keep his glass full.
Who's Armin?
He's the bartender. Figure it out. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Come on, will you?
This is the world famous Phil Hendry
Show. Nobody
told
me that. Nobody tells me that.
No one tells you what?
No one tells me. No one really cares. I show up to work. Well, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining, Phil, but that is the reality of my life.
All right, we got Ted Bell on the line with us here from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Margaret Gray is here. Let's just get into the sports.
All right, well, that's what I wanted to do.
Ted Bell and Ted, the first thing I want to talk with you about, let me get these stories up. We were, before you came on the air, and perhaps before a lot of you guys have joined us here, we were discussing the prospect of a female player in the National Football League.
I know the story here. Her name is Lauren Silberman, and they're not giving her much of a chance to make the National Football League. I thought I would tell you that, Phil, because it just does not seem like it is going to be one of those situations that's very high percentage. She is a soccer player. She played in organized soccer. She just started practicing kicking footballs recently. But she is scheduled to try out at an NFL regional scouting combine. That would they want to see where this hobby of hers is going to take her.
So it's a hobby.
Well, I think so.
Well, it sounds like you're not taking her very seriously. I think she has an opportunity to make it. Donica Patrick finished in the top 10.
Yeah. Okay.
Phil, see, this is why Ted's just blowing me off.
I'm not blowing you off, Margaret. I'm just, as a sports reporter, hold on for a minute. Hey, can we hold it down to a roar around here? I'm on the radio. I didn't say I on. I said I'm on the radio. You're a real smartass, Reuben. You're a smartass, Reuben. Hey, Reuben.
Hey, Ted, we're on the air.
I'm sorry, hold on. Reuben, I didn't say I are on the air. I did, but I made a mistake. I said, I'm on the air. I'm going to be a radio announcer. I'm going to be a radio announcer. Reuben. Hey, Reuben.
Hey, will you forget about Reuben, Ted?
Hold on for a minute, Phil. This guy busses tables for me, and he's going to take a shot like that? Hold on.
What did he say?
He said, hey, Mr. Bell, you said I on radio. Ha, ha, ha. I sounded like I had like a spastic brain or something. Isn't that what you said? Yeah, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You used the word spastic. You used the word spastic.
Ted, I'm going to hang up if I don't get your undivided attention in 10 seconds.
All right, I got 10 seconds. You said, yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, and you're fired. How does that feel?
No, all right, now I'm going to throw you off the air for firing him.
All right, you're not fired. Hey, Phil, I don't like you telling me how to run my business.
I don't like you running your business when you're on the air with me. This is my business.
All right, fair enough. But let me ask you a question. When I got a busboy, a guy that works, you know, way down. I own the restaurant, he's a busboy. Where would you put him if we were animals? What would he be and what would I be?
Ted, I don't know.
Now, come on.
I would say that if you were animals, you would be like a gorilla and he would be a monkey.
What?
That's pretty funny. That is pretty funny, man.
What in the hell? Goodbye.
Are you kidding me? I want every guest told from this day forward, if you hang up on the Phil Hendry Show, you will not be allowed back on the air ever.
Just tonight.
Is that what I just said? I said ever.
He hung up, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Well, I wasn't trying to make a joke. I was actually...
No, you're right. He asked, he said, you know, if I was an animal, where do you think he'd be? You said a gorilla and he'd be a monkey. And I heard Ted go, what?
Didn't come out the way Ted wanted to come out, that's it.
Is he calling back?
Yeah.
That Ted?
Right, so why, you know, why'd you hang up on me?
I didn't hang up on you and you know it.
Well, I don't really appreciate that kind of conversation. If I'm going to be on your program doing the sports reporting, as we have discussed, I don't want to be made to look like some kind... All right, we'll go ahead and we'll use that monkey analogy for just the next 5 seconds. I don't want to be made to look like I'm some kind of a gibbering, long-tailed thing in a tree.
I guess that would be a monkey, huh?
Well, yeah, but I didn't want to use the word. If you want to make me look like I'm a gibbering, long-tailed, blankety-blank... Hello?
Okay, Margaret.
In a tree?
Yes, in a tree.
Well, Ted, that only leaves one thing, a monkey.
No, it does not only leave a monkey. God.
Hey, Ted, what difference does it make, okay? All right, we're talking about the young lady. Now, Donica Patrick is a very, very good example...
I swear to God, I'll get back to it, Phil. So you called me a monkey, is what you did.
No, Ted, you're the one that asked if you were an animal, and where would your busboy, this kid Reuben, I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
What animal would he be? So I'd say you were a gorilla, he was a monkey.
Well, you know, guy, you're the guy that walked into it, okay?
I didn't walk into anything. I said what I was hoping she'd say is I would be a regular man, as I am right now, and Reuben would be like a dog or a cat.
So, I see. So,
yeah, and it's not racial because it has to do with just in terms of the brain. But never mind. Doesn't matter.
All right, Ted, let's talk about this young lady from the National Football League, the tryout. She wants to be a field goal kicker. You said that she does not have much of a chance to make it.
Oh, I don't think she does. She is 28 years of age. She has played soccer, as I say. She played competitive soccer. I don't think she played any professional soccer. Now, Phil, you're right. You mentioned the magic name there, Donica Patrick. Donica Patrick, she can contend, you know, against men in motorsports. Silverman's about to take a big kick forward, and I wrote that line, big kick forward. I want to point these out. I'm not trying to get kudos, and I don't want your approval, but what do you think of my writing?
It's very good. It's very good.
I think it's excellent.
Okay. Silverman's about to take a big kick forward for female athletes.
Hold on. You don't want to emphasize it like that.
What?
Well, you don't want to go a big kick.
I didn't go a big kick. God, you're making me sound like I'm in a chorus line. God.
No, we're not.
Yeah, she made me sound like that guy got a big kick. Oh, God. You're making me sound like half of these guys that come in here on a Wednesday night after 1 a.m. And I think you know what I mean.
Oh, would you not be so sensitive, man? We're talking about you emphasizing the word kick. It's great writing. You don't have to do anything with that word other than just articulate it normally.
I want people to notice how good it is.
People are going to notice on their own, Ted. If you say a big kick, I think you're ruining the word. You're ruining the entire sentence.
All right.
Go ahead.
Silverman is about to take a big kick forward for female athletes, even if the odds are clearly stacked against her. I didn't want to use the word stacked. But you think it works?
Why didn't you want to use the word stacked?
Well.
Breasts?
Yeah.
No, man, that's okay.
Well, okay, so on the one hand, I'm not allowed to talk about a woman's you-know-what. I don't get it, but. The 28-year-old Silverman will kick Sunday at the New York Jets training facility in Florham Park, New Jersey. And we got a quote from her here in an email, Phil. She said, I'm working hard to prepare, but I'm also realistic about my chances. I hope my willingness to put myself out there inspires others to seize opportunities and challenges. The support from around the world has been so heartening. Her goal for the weekend is a true long shot, perfect 60-yard field goal.
All right, now when a kicker tries out in the National Football League, is he asked to make kicks like that?
Well, in a non-competitive situation where you don't have a defensive line... Well, there's the music, so...
Hang on the line. We'll be right back, okay?
Right. But the word stacked, you don't have a problem with.
I don't have a problem with the word stacked, no.
Why is he so sensitive?
Well, Margaret, I got to tell you, one reason is you're sitting here.
Yeah, you're enough... You scare people.
I don't scare people near as much as you do. All right, so stick that in your glass pipe and...
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Henry.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
Ted to Beverly Hills.
I told him not to do that.
All right, we're back. We're just screwing around. Phil Henry here, Ted Bell, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard. Ted, we're talking with you this hour about football, about the National Football League, about Lauren Silberman. We also have a story here on salary caps that we want to get to, and your expertise as a business owner is going to help us there. But let's just continue here a little bit more. Lauren Silberman is a 28-year-old female who's going to be in the New York Jets camp this weekend, is it? This coming Sunday at the Jets training facility. Not camp hasn't started yet, correct?
No, training camp for the National Football League doesn't begin until July. I don't know whether the NFL has anything similar like the baseball, where baseball, the pitcher,
the pickers.
No. Talk about baseball, pitchers and catchers.
Yeah, that's it. The pitchers and catchers. You know why I'm reluctant? Well, I don't like using those terms. See, you were talking to me about stacked, and the other term that I used that might be bad was stacked and kick.
Kick is fine. When you said that Lauren Silberman is going to take a big kick forward, we're talking to Ted here about his writing.
You don't have to tell the audience. We're talking to Ted here. That's like saying, oh, we're talking to Ted here because he's a novice.
Ted, if you're going to ask our opinion...
I'm not asking your opinion, I'm asking Mr. Henry.
Well, she's a writer. Margaret's a journalist. Are you being a sexist, the kind of sexist that...
No, I'm not being a sexist.
Well, then take her opinion.
All right, what do you think?
I said that kick is fine, it's a very good word. Now, if you're going to begin to worry about words like stacked because you're afraid of some inference that you're being sexist, I wouldn't do that.
All right, but I mean, if I say and the odds are stacked against her, and they show a picture of her, because I got no control over that, if they pick it up for a wire story and they show a picture of her with the big, they're sticking out.
The big what? Does she have large breasts?
I don't know.
Well, then what are you worried about?
What if she does?
Oh, man. You know what, man? You're not ready for this job.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Editor, sir.
Well, you're asking me a question. You're on my show. You spent more time asking me advice about how your writing is and feeling insecure about being a sports reporter.
I'm Ted Bell. Let me just explain something. My name is Ted Bell. T-E-D-B-E-L-L. Ted Bell.
Ted.
Hey, whoa. Ted Bell. I'm Ted Bell. All right?
Ted, we know that.
Hold on. Let me ask a question, Margaret. Is your name Ted Bell?
You know full well it isn't.
All right, Bill?
No.
Okay, so of the three of us...
It's actually five, me and Robert.
All right, then I'll ask you, Dickman. What's your name? It sure isn't Ted Dickman, is it?
No.
Is it Bud Bell?
No.
Is it Ted Bell?
No, you're Ted Bell.
Hey, atta baby. What about you, Robert?
No, sir, you're Ted Bell.
I'm Ted Bell, so we're in agreement. Five of you, including me. That'd make five, wouldn't it? One, two...
Yes, it's five.
All right. I'm Ted Bell. What does it say in the front of my restaurant? Ted's of Beverly Hills. It could say Ted Bell's of Beverly Hills. I don't need to do that, though. I don't need to even say Ted Bell's of Beverly Hills. People know it's... When they say Ted, hey, it's me. They come out with a movie called Ted. Why? Because they hear my name everywhere. This guy, what's his name? This Seth something or other? What's his name?
McFarlane.
Yeah, he comes out with a movie called Ted. Why did he call it Ted? You know why? Because he hears the name Ted everywhere. He sees the name Ted everywhere. I'll bet you that guy has come into my restaurant and tried to mooch drinks. I hear that guy McFarlane, before he got famous, was hanging around all kinds of joints, mooching drinks, trying to catch drinks from all kinds of people. And I shouldn't say this, but it's very possible, because I know this town. If you go out there and you're trying to sell your ass out here on Wilshire Boulevard so you can catch drinks at my place...
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm not saying anything. I hope it isn't true, what I heard.
What did you hear?
Bill, don't ask him what he heard.
No, wait. I heard that McFarlane might have sold his...
You know something, man? I'm gonna tell everybody right now not to listen to anything you say in regard to that. It's absolute slander. It's a bunch of horse dung. You don't even know if Seth McFarlane ever set foot in your place.
My friend, let me tell you. Anybody who's everybody has been in my joint and has had a drink. And I've seen a lot of them who are movie stars today. And I mean, just, you know, like a year before they became a movie star, they're down on Wilshire Boulevard selling their rear ends so they can get up enough cash to come in and get a Ted. That's how good the Ted is. Where a guy like Matthew McConaughey would be...
Would you not say anybody's name, please?
Please?
Please. All right, moving on.
I'd throw him off the air.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, I would. That was absolute slander to say that Seth MacFarlane sold his you-know-what down on Wilshire so he could get enough money for a Ted.
Margaret, the Ted... Oh, God almighty, do I hate you now.
It doesn't matter to me.
The Ted is one of the finest cocktails that has ever been...
The Ted, all it is rum and coke.
All it is rum and coke. Let me tell you about a Ted. The Ted... No, I'm not even going to...
Yeah, okay. Can we now move on to the next story, which is the NFL... it is the NFL salary cap.
Yeah, the NFL salary cap is $123 million. And I think I heard you say, Phil, and I think you're right... that the NFL salary cap, as it is today, shows that the National Football League has got plenty of money. Who knows why they're crying about what they're crying about, but I think it takes a pair, a pretty big pair, to start bellyaching about the money that you're making if you've raised your salary cap.
Yeah, but this is all about the union, isn't it?
Well, it's about the union, sure. It's about the players who are getting their way again. I got to tell you something. I don't know when it's going to end. I don't know when we are going to stop giving in to some of these workers. I got nothing against a worker. I used to be a worker myself, but I think there comes a time, Phil, when you say to the workers of the country, you know, we're in a recession, for God's sake. And you want what? You want a raise? We don't want a raise. I'd love to have a raise. I don't get a raise. I go to work. I come home. I stink of grease. I stink of grease. My son goes to embrace me. He goes to hug his father. He says, "Hello, father. Welcome home." And then he backs away with a look on his face like he's going to retch all over the front of my suit. How do you what do you say, Phil, when you come home and your only son embraces you and then backs away and has a look on his face of revulsion, you know, and you wonder where you went wrong? You wonder why that boy hates you.
You're talking about the way you smell from a grease trap.
Well, all right, but the point that I'm making is you do take it personally until you realize it's the stink coming off of you from the food. And so I want to do something more, Phil. I want to be able to make enough money for my employees to pay them better.
All right, so we're going to get back to, I don't know how we got sidetracked there. Where's the story?
I'm looking for it. So
what the story is, as I know it, the National Football League increasing its salary cap to $123 million. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be paying their players more. That means they're just going to be hiring or have an opportunity to look at and hire perhaps more players, at least through camp.
Well, the fault in your thinking is that the National Football League has a limited number of players that you can have on the team. So, no, it isn't so they can hire more players.
I said in training camp. In training camp.
In training camp.
Yeah. You know, you can offer more contracts. I don't know. I don't know what the league rule is, but you can at least take a look at a few more people and maybe even offer money to individuals, whether or not you're going to keep them on the roster, and you'll have more money to play with.
Yeah, but I mean, the money that you have to play with, I don't know. I don't know how it works. You know, I was doing better when I was talking about the way I stunk to high heaven, and then my only son, Josh, would look at me and then back away and say, "My God, you stink." And that cuts you to the quick, I'll tell you that right now.
Even if it's just the smell of grease.
Even if it's the smell of grease, yes, sir.
All right, Ted, I appreciate it.
We still got 3 minutes of the segment.
I know, but I can't take it anymore. You know, we haven't done any sports reporting. So I need to say goodbye. Thank you very much.
Well, how about I tried to do the sports reporting.
You're telling me about guys selling their ass down in Wilshire. You're talking about Seth MacFarlane. You're talking about this and talking about that. Talking about kicker, you know. We never do get to the real story.
Ted, and you're worrying too much about the word, like, stacked.
How about this guy that had these sprockets for legs? You want to tell you? I can give you an opinion about this guy. What about him?
You mean this guy, Oscar Pistorius? Is that him?
There you go, baby. This is the guy that ran in the Olympics, and he had those springy-looking... What he had for legs were actually the springs from a rocking horse. Okay? Now...
What do you mean, the springs from a rocking horse?
Exactly what I said.
You said the guy that ran in the Olympics.
Yes, all you got to do is take a look at. They call him Blade Runner. That's not Blade Runner. Those are garage door springs that he took off a garage door, or a doctor did, or somebody, or designed something that looked like that. So first of all, I think you got to know where this guy's coming from. It's not Blade Runner. This guy is a common garage door. He's got garage door springs for legs. It's not blades. The guy is nothing more than a common lousy, just some punk with a garage door spring for a leg.
Yeah, but he has two of them.
All right, he's got two of them. Just like you were saying the other day, bud, the guy with the pogo stick?
Yeah, it wasn't a pogo stick, though. It looked like it.
Well, these aren't real garage door springs. I don't know what they are.
So what has that got to do with anything?
It means if we start to tell it like it is, like Ted Bell proposes, and we start saying what a guy is all about, you don't say Blade Runner, makes him sound like some romantic figure from the future. This is a guy that's getting through life with a... He's got to go to a garage door company to get his legs repaired, you know?
He's not going to a garage door company, man. He's obviously going to some place where they are fitting people with prosthetics.
Prosthetics? Did you see the guy or did you not?
Yes, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
And you're telling me that's some kind of a sophisticated prosthetic? Those two springs on his legs, I could use those because I can't get the fourth door on my four-car garage open. I could use that guy's legs.
Are you crying?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Why?
I hate it. I hate everything.
Ted, I think you're going to do well.
Yeah.
I think you're going to do well, Margaret.
Ted, this has been a very good start for you. I know we criticized you, but I think you're going to do well doing sports, Ted. I'm so sorry that I criticized you the way I did.
I want to do something that stinks like grease.
I know. I know you want to do something other than stink like grease, but you own a restaurant, man. Think about this. Think of the achievement, you know.
Yeah,
And don't be drinking on the job. You don't want to wind up like Ted Bell Sr. And, you know, give a guy a break, man. I mean, if it's Blade Runner, it's Blade Runner. God, you know, the dude's done a lot to be able to run in the Olympics like that.
Yeah, he did a lot, too. Was I just on mic?
Yeah, I think I heard a little bit of it.
Yeah, he did a lot. Excuse me.
Yeah, he did a lot, too, when he killed his girlfriend. You want to call that the achievement of the year? Boy, he's done a lot, man. He ran with a couple of garage door springs, killed his girlfriend, dropped a garage door on her head. I'd like to look into just how many things he's done with garage doors.
All right, Ted, thank you very much.
You don't like that out?
No, I don't. Thank you very much. Congratulations. We'll see you next week.
All right. Ted Bell here. Don't forget to come into Ted's in Beverly Hills, the Prime Rib Room. This weekend, more big sporting action. The Daytona 500. No, wait a minute. That was last week. We'll see if there's somebody else showing up on the track with a couple of springs for legs, maybe a pogo stick. Who knows? Maybe a rocking chair. I don't...
All right. I didn't hang up on him.
No, you hung up.
There's a guy that ought to go out into the parking lot with you, Margaret, and blast up.
I didn't blast up. But if that's what you're suggesting...
Yeah, I am. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I'm telling you, that guy had garage door springs for legs. And I'm telling you...
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And we're back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. I just...
I just don't like that car. You know, Seth MacFarlane was down on Wilshire selling his rear end for the price of a Ted, I think is, even if he's joking...
Well, I don't think he's joking. I think he's completely insane when he says stuff like that. I think Ted knows he's what he's saying isn't true.
What is he going to say?
I think he drops these names like, you know, it's a big deal, man. Like, hey, guess who comes into my restaurant?
Well, do you think Seth MacFarlane's been in his restaurant?
I don't know. Who knows? How do you know? He's in Beverly Hills. I mean, there's all kinds of people hang out there. I don't know. But, I mean, to say the guy was Seth MacFarlane, who did it? Matthew McConaughey selling their rear ends for the price of a Ted. How much does a Ted cost, bud?
What are you asking me for? I don't drink them.
Yeah, well, you got the menu right there.
Oh. The Ted, the famous Ted.
What's it say?
Enjoy this signature drink of the famous Ted of Beverly Hills restaurant. Ted handpicks the rum himself. The Captain Morgan's with a splash of Haitian or Jamaican rum and a very refreshing Coke from a Coca-Cola makes the Ted one of the favorites of all time.
Are you reading that from the menu?
No, I'm just making it up because...
Give me that, will you? What are you making it up for?
Did somebody drop some grease on it?
You spill gravy on this?
Look at me, man.
You can't read it because there's a gravy stain.
You were making all of that up.
Yeah.
Oh. Give me your shirt. The Ted's of Beverly Hills. It's Captain Morgan's and Coke is what it is. And let's see, the price is what I was looking for.
What's the price?
$9.50. I guess that ain't that bad.
$9.50? For one lousy drink? Ha 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 ha. You ain't gonna get me to part with $9.50 for a Ted.
And why does a guy gotta go down to Wilshire and sell his ass for the price of a Ted? I mean, how much?
Phil, don't ask me. Are you trying to tell me? See, these are the areas you go that I think are very, very dangerous for your career.
Why?
Because basically you're saying that Seth MacFarlane's ass is a $9.50 ass.
Yeah, it's before people know about him.
Well, even if they did...
Wait, are you trying to tell me that I'm insulting the man?
If you're saying that he got $9.50 from some poor, lonely...
Margaret, that's the most bizarre line of thinking.
No, but I mean, I kind of know what you're saying. You're saying Seth MacFarlane, that guy's a big star.
Okay, he's a big star. What about it?
Just say the guy's sold his butt to a lonely businessman for $9.50.
I didn't say that. I didn't say anything like that. Ted's the guy that said they were selling their asses for the price of a Ted.
But you concurred.
I didn't concur. I simply said... I didn't say anything.
Yes, you did, and I think that at some point you need to apologize. Because what you're saying, Phil, is this. Matthew McConaughey, and I wish and I hope and I pray, that he never goes into the life of a male prostitute. But if he does, one would hope... That portion, the rear end.
Yeah.
Don't look at me like that, Phil.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I haven't dug a hole for myself. That, his, butt, is worth more than $9.50.
What'd you pay for it?
May I be allowed?
No, you're not. I'm going to smack you. I don't think anybody is saying that other than what is going on in Ted's fevered brain. No one said that Matthew McConaughey sells his ass for $9.50 or Seth MacFarlane. I do know that the Ted is a $9.50 drink. And for Ted to say that these guys were down on Wilshire selling their asses before they became famous for the price of a Ted is essentially saying it's $9.50.
What if it's worth less then?
Okay, then it would be worth less.
Oh, my God. So now you're saying, what, $5.50?
Yeah, that's it, Margaret. So Ted is saying that Matthew McConaughey and Seth MacFarlane, before they became famous, could only sell their butts for $5.50.
I don't think there's anything funny about it.
I think you need help if you really believe any of this crap that we're talking about. Help. H-E-L-P. Georgetown and the rest of the Catholic Seven intend to add Butler and Xavier to its new league. Georgetown and its fellow Catholic breakaway members of the Big East. What's that about?
I think it's religious, some sort of religious persecution, I guess.
Religious persecution?
Yeah.
By who?
By the Big East.
Georgetown and its fellow Catholic breakaway members of the Big East intend to add Butler and Xavier to the new basketball-centered conference they're forming and start play as a nine-member league next season, according to a person close to the process. In quoting the outgoing Pope Benedict, they said...
Give me that.
Take that from me.
You telling me the Pope said that?
I'm joking.
Oh, thank God.
I'm joking.
Well, you said it.
Yeah, that's right. They went to Pope Benedict to get a quote on the new league that Xavier... the plan is to add other members of the following year, with Creighton and Dayton among a handful of schools receiving strong consideration. Is Dayton a Catholic school? I thought that was just like Dayton. The goal is to reach a 12-team conference in a gradual, orderly fashion, whether that takes two or more years. Yes, it will be a Catholic league. Only Catholics! See, now I'm Catholic. I can make Catholic jokes. I can make any Catholic joke I want, because I grew up Catholic. I got this badge, and I got this gun, and I got the love of Jesus in my pretty green eyes.
What?
I'm talking about making Catholic jokes.
I can make a Catholic joke.
No, you can't. You're not Catholic. Nobody here. Me. I'm the only one.
Well, that's taking it a little far, isn't it?
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, because Catholics understand Catholics. See, I got it. Let me give you this. I'll just tell it to you like this. I can knock the Catholic Church, as I do, but when I hear non-Catholics do it, I ask myself this question, what's it got to do with you? You're not a Catholic.
What about the molestation?
The molestation, I understand. But I don't hear people bring that up a lot. I hear them bringing up the Pope this, that, something else. And I'll say to them, you know, I know there's a lot wrong with the Catholic Church, but you got no right. No right at all. All right, we'll be right back on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Is the Pope Catholic?
Tell me I can't let she gets to do that. Ow!
Right.
You okay?
What?
Because you said Matthew McConaughey's butt's only worth $5.50.
Phil Hendry.
We're now in the loft studio?
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment, and truth is our bitch on this show. I'm Phil Hendry. We also have a podcast that is out each and every day, and if you check us out on iTunes, you can hear a smattering, a sampling, a dollop of what is available on our website, philhendryshow.com. So when you hear the Phil Hendry podcast, you are just getting a little itsy-bitsy taste of the close to 5,000 hours of full radio shows, archive shows that go back over a decade at philhendryshow.com. So try it, love it, hunch it, wrap your arms around it, wrap your legs around it, you know.
Yeah, I just don't like that image at all.
Yeah, it's very descriptive. Mr. Hendry used it.
Well, I'll hear from Phil Hendry, not you, thank you very much.
All right, bud. Yeah, I mean, that's what we say.
I don't like the whole climate and wrap your legs around it. I'm sorry.
Right, I'm sorry, Margaret, but that's how I communicate with my audience.
Don't I know it, but I'm trying to give you the heads up, and I want to give you the heads up on one other thing, if you don't mind.
Do you mind if I just get through the open of the hour here?
Go ahead.
So
I thought you were done.
I'm not done. So go to philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass, and you'll be in love with it. All right. What's the...
Well, the Kim Kardashian story. Now, I know that Doug Danger is going to be calling here. I think you need... I suppressed a belch.
Great, Margaret. Do you have to...
I suppressed a belch.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. I'm simply saying to you that I do not give full vent and full rein to my baser instincts like some people in this studio do, Bud.
Yeah, but I'll say one thing for Bud. He doesn't sit there and belch.
Yeah, I'm not sitting there going burp, 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 burp. Every 10 minutes or 5 seconds, I mean.
What? What a retard.
All right, okay. What's this? The Kim Kardashian. Doug Danger is going to talk about Kim Kardashian. She's pregnant. She was just seen recently in a runway show, I think, or something along those lines. She was looking fetching in some new ensemble. Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. Doug, how are you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing very good.
Doug is the entertainment writer for the Courier, and let me just grab the story here, Doug. I know it's Kim Kardashian. Oh, here we go. Now, Kim Kardashian is a young lady who is with child. Am I right about that?
Yeah, Kim Kardashian is pregnant and by Kanye West. And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I'm reporting on that with nothing but the highest praise and good wishes to both husband, not husband and wife, but man and father. I don't think they're husband and wife right now. As a gay man, gay journalist. I don't want to comment on that. I think it'd be a lot better as a gay man. And I say this as a gay man and a gay girl. It's going to surprise a lot of people, Phil, but I think that they ought to get married. And I think maybe ought to give that child a name.
Well, the child is going to have a name, Doug.
Yeah, but what last name is that child going to have?
Would it have the father's last name?
They don't know. You could have the mother's last name. They could give it the father's last name. But you're not married. As these two individuals are not married, I'm saying this as a gay man, as a gay journalist. And I like how these heterosexuals who love to tell you all about marriage, they love to tell you about what's right, what's wrong, and these heterosexuals don't even have the common decency to get married to give their child a legitimate name, so it isn't a... I'm going to use the word, and I'm using this word as a gay man, as a gay journalist, a bastard.
That is unnecessary. I think in this day and age, Ted...
No, in this day and age, Margaret, in this day and age, a bastard is a bastard, and that's what Kanye West and Kim Kardashian... are attempting to foist on the world a bastard child, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Let me ask you something, Doug. This is not what we wanted to talk about. What we wanted to talk about was this style, these casual white jeans and the lacy, what they called a bump-grazing top. But as long as you're on this topic...
Well, I didn't want to talk at length about it either, but I think it needs to be said. And the only guy that's going to say it, you'll notice that the only guy saying it is me, a gay man, gay journalist.
Yeah, but you're a gay man... What do you care about it?
Doug, who was that, Bud? Bud?
Yeah.
Bud, as I've tried to explain to you so many times, I can't even count them. Being a gay man, gay journalist, I still can comment on the issue of marriage, and this ain't about gay marriage, because I don't like to talk about gay issues. As you know, Phil, I'd rather talk about anything but gay issues. I'd rather talk about how to clean a cat box. I swear to God, I'd rather talk about how to clean or how to wipe feces stuck to your cat's rear end than talk about gay issues. What do you think of that?
What?
Are you telling me that you'd rather... What did you say?
I said I'd rather...
All right, I understand what you said. You don't want to talk about gay issues. So this is not a gay issue. It's a marriage issue.
That's exactly right.
Okay, and so you're saying that the Kanye West, Kim Kardashian union, that's not marriage.
No, it's not marriage. It's not marriage. And that's why I think as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I can tell you... That's a couple of heterosexuals. That's what they think of marriage. They'd rather bring a bastard into this world and give that child a legitimate chance. Okay?
Don't you worry that people in entertainment, particularly this couple, will see you and not want to talk to you?
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. So how are they going to ignore... I don't care whether they talk to me or not. The fact is they will talk to me because I'm a gay man and I'm a gay journalist. All right? Phil?
Yes.
Okay, then you know I'm gay.
Right.
It's like you're saying, yeah, I know you're gay, big wow.
Yeah, well, you say it all the time.
Hey, listen, Dickman, I'm not even messing with you today. I get one word out of you that I don't like, I'll come down there. And when I get there, you'll know my name.
All right, let's just move on then, okay? Enough about the fact that they're not married or they will be married or the kid's a bastard.
Look, how many times do you get to say on the radio, look at that, look at that, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, and they're going to have a bastard for a child? You don't get to say that, and that's true. That's true.
All right, we've said it enough, and now let's move on to this issue having to do with the fashion that she was wearing.
Yeah, see, that's it. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I get to talk about fashion. Well, guess what? I'm going to take this into a new realm, Phil. Now, Kim Kardashian may not be smarter, but she's certainly stunning. The pregnant E-star was spotted heading to a meeting in L.A. on Thursday, and her head-to-toe look from the flowing locks to her pointed pumps was just spot on. For the occasion, I didn't write this, by the way, because I don't give a sweet you-know-what about fashion, but I'm just giving this as a precursor to my report, Phil, as a gay man and gay journalist.
All right.
The pregnant E-star was spotted heading to a meeting in L.A. on Thursday, and her head-to-toe look was stunning. For the occasion, Kim chose simple white jeans and a slinky white satin and lace camisole that gently grazed her steadily growing baby bump. God, I hate that term, baby bump. Only a straight person could have come up with that term. Baby bump. You have got to be, in order to embrace a word like that, you've got to be illiterate. You know what I mean by illiterate?
Yeah, you can't read and write.
That's it. You know what I mean by that? What's his name, Bud?
My name's Bud Dickman. You talk about illiterate.
We know, Doug.
I didn't say if you knew. I'm asking Bud.
Yeah?
What's illiterate mean?
What's what mean?
What does illiterate mean? Well, it's you, okay?
No, he can read and write. What's wrong with you tonight?
I'm just trying to get to the, you know, what I'm trying to do is a build-up here. Illiterate. In order to use the term baby bump, you got to have a brain about the size of Dickman's. Either that or you can't read or write. Either that or you're some kind of cranked-up white trash. Either that or you're some kind of coked-out black trash. Either that...
Come on, take it easy, man. Back up. You're just going to do this report. Do the report, all right? You're starting to sound angry. You're starting to sound borderline racist.
Yes, and I don't like it at all.
Well, I don't care, because this needs to be said. Kim Kardashian's pregnant, right?
Right.
How big do you think that ass is supposed to get?
Come on. Well, you know... Doug?
No, that's a damn good question. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Nobody's asked the question. Kim Kardashian's pregnant. How big do you think that ass is supposed to get before somebody says something?
Well, I mean...
Yeah, go ahead. I'm waiting. See, nobody has said anything. No one said anything. And that's the thing that disturbs me more than anything else. I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist. Okay. You know. Okay?
Yes. Yes, you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
All right. And if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine with me. But I'm going to say something because I'm gay. And I'm a gay man, gay journalist. Look at this woman, Kim Kardashian. Now, she already is known really for only one thing, that big balloon rear end of hers. That's all she's known for. Don't give me this stuff about how on the Kardashians she was so funny the other. Nobody cares, man. People watch that show so they can see how much of a mental midget most of those people are. They want to see how dumb. First of all, they want to see whether Bruce Jenner's face begins to just, you know, gradually flake off. What week is it going to be when we finally see Bruce Jenner show up and there's no eyes, no nose, no mouth? It's just a straight, flat face, you know, like something out of the cartoons. Okay, when's that going to happen? The other thing people want to know is, what kind of crazy thing is that other mental midget that, what's her name, that Kris Jenner? Then the other mental midgets, and then we got Kim. And how big is that butt going to get? That's the only reason why people watch that show. Now, she's pregnant. Do you know how big that ass is going to get? Now, I'm sorry, Phil, to have to talk about it in these terms.
You know what? I think it's very disrespectful. If you want my honest opinion.
I think it is as well. And I think as a topic of discussion on a radio show, even though it is late at night, where are you going with this? What's the purpose of this?
I think I already articulated it. How big is the ass going to get? Why is that so difficult for people to understand?
All right, so what?
So what? It's going to... Boy, I tell you what, I'm a gay man and a... Thank God you got a gay man and a gay journalist on your program. What I'm trying to say to you is this. It's going to destroy Kim Kardashian's career. There's only one reason why people care about the woman. The ass. The ass, the ass, the ass. Now that woman puts on all this weight. She's going to have a baby. She's got her baby bump or however, these metal midgets. All this white trash. They want to talk about that stuff. I'm telling you, gay man, gay journalist. And I'm telling you right now, that ass gets so big, it will explode right along with her career. Now, of course, I'm being facetious.
Well, thank goodness you told us you're being facetious. You are being as mean-spirited as I've ever heard you be, Doug. And to say that this girl's career is going to be destroyed because her hind end gets too big.
I'm telling you, Margaret, Kim Kardashian right now has got a nicely shaped, she's got a big ass, but it's a nicely shaped ass. She gets pregnant, and that ass never quits. I'm Doug Danger, I'm Gay Man, Gay Journal.
And that shorthand is driving me nuts, okay?
All right, I'm Doug Danger, I'm a gay man, gay journal.
We'll be right back, let's take a break here. It's driving me crazy. Kim Kardashian, the question is, now that she's pregnant, how big can that ass get before it destroys her career? Just because she's pregnant.
Well, you gotta admit, if you're getting pregnant, the ass gets big.
The ass gets big, but it doesn't get career-destroying big. That's the point I've been trying to make.
Yeah, okay. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
What?
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Doug Danger on the line with us here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. So Kim Kardashian has been a part of the discussion here, and a rather juvenile question, how big can the ass get? But you don't think so, huh, Doug?
No, I don't think it's juvenile, Phil. I'm a gay man, a gay journalist. I don't ask juvenile questions. They may be unusual questions, but I'm a gay man, a gay journalist.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you see on a TV show about the pet or about the West Side Boys, and they took a hostage?
No, I didn't see anything like that.
Well, there's he's referring to the SAS, the British Special Service, the SAS.
I know the SAS. Yeah.
Okay, the SAS went in and rescued four British soldiers who had been taken hostage by a group called the West Side Boys from Sierra Leone.
I seem to remember that story, yeah.
Okay, my question, Mr. Danger, Doug, if you heard the song In a West Side Town and a West Side Girl and a West Side Boy.
The what? What is he talking about?
What are you talking about, Doug? Or Bud?
Whoa, hold on there, friend.
I misspoke, sorry.
Yeah, okay, we got to back way up. You just called him Doug. Are you telling me that I remind you of some guy that's got the thought process of an eel? Because...
No.
All right.
No, I'm not. I misspoke. Bud.
What?
What are you talking about?
The SAS rescued those soldiers.
Yes.
From the West Side Boys.
Yeah, those are the Pet Shop Boys.
No, the guys that had the hostage.
The guys that sang West Side Girls were the Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah, the guys that sang that song. The one you did, Bud.
Yeah, In a West Side Town, In a West Side Girl, and...
You know, excuse me, I'm the singer here.
Okay, Margaret, do you know the song?
Yes. In a West Side Town with West Side Girls, the East Side Boys, the West Side. I don't know how it goes, but it's like that.
Well, anyway, what's your question?
Well, I guess I don't have it.
Are you trying to tell me you thought those were the guys that kidnapped these guys?
Well,
I'll tell you something, Dickman. You break all records for weird. You break every weird record on the books. Every weird record on the books, every record for weird, every record for dumb, every record for Claude, every record for Akins even. Not even Claude, and when I said Claude, I meant C-L-O-D, but even Claude Akins. Every record.
Okay, can we get back to the story here?
Yeah, so the story, that's it. Kim Kardashian gets pregnant, that ass gets too big, her career is dead. You mark my words, I'm Doug Danger, I'm a gay man, gay journal. Now... Oh, I'm sorry, Phil, I did shorthand. Gay man, gay journalist. Now, the next story we got here, Girls Gone Wild files for bankruptcy protection, cites disputed debt to the Wynn Casino.
This is a very interesting story, Doug. I'm glad that you are talking about this. Joe Francis, is this a gambling debt?
You better believe it's a gambling debt, Margaret. The company behind the Girls Gone Wild video empire has filed for a bankruptcy in a move, it says, is an effort to restructure its legal affairs after several disputed court judgments. GGW Brands LLC and several subsidiaries filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy on Wednesday in Los Angeles, listing more than $16 million disputed claim. Now, here's the thing, Mark, that will interest you and interest you, Phil. The largest claim is a $10.3 million judgment that the Wynn Resorts Limited is seeking from the company for judgments entered against Girls Gone Wild founder Joe Francis over a gambling debt and statements he's made about the casino and its founder, Steve Wynn.
I just want to be clear. So this is a gambling debt.
Yeah, that's $10.3 million in a gambling debt. And also, I think there might have been a judgment in terms of libel. The figure does not include a $19 million judgment Wynn won against Francis in a slander trial last year. The case which, I might have lost my place. But the point is, this guy, Joe Francis, owes a lot of money. And the extra point here is, I've never seen a guy have the success that a guy that Joe Francis has had. And I've never seen a guy come back from more troubles like Joe Francis. The attempted blackmail, all kinds of stuff. And then turn around and just throw it all down the crapper on these gambling debts.
Yeah, I think it's really amazing too, Phil, because Joe Francis, whether or not you like the Girls Gone Wild idea, Joe Francis made a lot of money. And to lose it all in such a ridiculous way, to lose a slander judgment, and then to throw it away on gambling.
Well, yeah, I agree. And you're throwing away so much money by way of a gambling debt, and you owe it to a guy who, I guess you, did this slander come about?
Yeah, I think the slander came about after the...
All right, so the slander comes about after this judgment. But here's a guy that, because of his gambling problem, wrecked his company, it sounds like.
I don't know if that's it. I mean, I think if you owe anybody $10 million in gambling debts, you have a gambling problem. There's no question about it.
Yeah, but if you got $10 million, it's like a drop in a bucket.
But this ain't no drop in a bucket, but this guy loses $10 million, he's done. And he is done now.
Well, bankruptcy, Ken, doesn't necessarily mean a guy is done. I mean, first of all, Doug, the slander trial, this was against Joe Francis?
Well, the slander charge is against Joe Francis. But the debts are assumed by the company, this Girls Gone Wild LLC, or whatever the hell this is, Girls Gone Wild.
All right, so Joe Francis himself is looking personally at the slander problem. His company is on the hook for the for these debts.
Exactly. So Joe Francis personally may not be involved in the bankruptcy, but personally he's got his ass in a ringer over the stuff that he said about Steve Wynn and stuff like that.
Well, it is pretty interesting. I mean, I think that, the guy made a lot of money.
Yeah, and it also sunk a lot of ideas. The Baby Gone Wild, which I think I discussed with you.
Baby Gone Wild?
Yes, that was the idea. I thought that might have been a good idea.
Hold on for a minute. You remember Baby Gone Wild or Baby Did Go Wild? Do you remember that?
I remember that.
All right. That was an idea. That wasn't my idea. I said that was an idea that I heard somebody float on your show. Who was that?
Who floated the Baby Gone Wild idea?
I heard someone say Baby Gone Wild and Baby Did Go Wild, and I don't know who it was. I always thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, me too.
Whoa. Hold on. What are you talking about?
You never heard the Baby Go Wild.
What do you mean I never heard Baby Go Wild? What kind of an idea is that?
It's some idea that some guy had for a videotape that was on your show. They were going to sell them.
Well, it better not be what I'm thinking.
No, man. God, don't be so weird, man. Just back off. Cool it off. Cool it way down. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Okay, you're a gay man and a gay journalist. What about it?
Baby Gone Wild.
I've never heard of Baby Gone Wild.
You know, a minute ago, Phil, you were all calm and everything and, you know, and...
Bored.
Bored?
Bored.
Well, right now you're going ape crap because somebody said Baby Did Go Wild or Baby Done Gone Wild.
That was it. Now I remember. It was Baby Done Gone Wild. And I think it was a series of videotapes. I can't remember. I don't know.
But look through the files and look through our records and see when that show was done. At least we can find out who it was.
Yeah, I think it was...
Hold on, we're going to take a break. Phil Hendry Show. Baby Done Gone Wild.
Yeah, I'm going to Baby Done Gone Wild.
Phil Hendry.
Baby, please don't go. Baby, that baby...
world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We had a bit of a controversy erupt here at the tail end of the last segment. I'm talking to Doug Danger and Margaret Gray here about Joe Francis of the Girls Gone Wild franchise, if you will, who is on the hook for a lot of money. He had a slander judgment against him for $19 million. Steve Wynn filed that. This is from Las Vegas. And now Mr. Francis also owes some $10 million in gambling debt money to the Wynn Resort. So it's not a good story. And Doug, you mentioned Baby Go Wild or Baby Gone Wild.
The idea, this is Doug Danger, folks, gay man and a gay journalist. Phil, you're always reluctant.
No, I'm not reluctant. We've been saying it so much.
No, I know, but at the beginning of the segment.
Okay. This is Doug Danger, gay man and gay journalist.
Right, Doug Danger, gay man, gay journalist. All right, the point that I'm making here and the point we've been making, as the result of Girls Gone Wild, there were a lot of different franchises, I think, that tried to utilize that format. Not that format, this got nothing to do with sex, but the whole Gone Wild concept, getting something, have it go wild. What is it? All right, there was a gentleman, I think it was in the L.A. County area, who came up with it was called Baby Go Wild or Baby Done Gone Wild or a Baby Did Go Wild or something. It was either Baby or Babies. I don't know what.
Well, Bud, you have the...
We got a file. This is last year we had on a Phil Hendry show, and it was a gentleman by the name of Steve Basel, and he said Baby You Go or Baby Gone.
Let me see it, Bud.
Oh, Baby.
I got it, Bud.
Hey, right here, Baby.
I got it, man. You're sticking it up my nose. I can't read it.
Let me see.
Can't see, baby.
Give it to me. What is with you guys?
Will you let him read it, please?
Baby Done Gone Wild.
Yeah, that's it. This guy's a real hillbilly, whoever it was.
Well, we have him on the phone. He is in Corona, California. His name is Mr. Stephen Bozell. And Mr. Bozell, how you doing?
Yes, sir. By the way,
I just want to ask you a question, Mr. Bozell. You were on our show last year.
Yes, sir, I was. Mr. Danger, I don't have any racism in me, and you call me a hillbilly, I've got to say you're just some gay boy.
Hey, let me just say this, sir. I've been called every name in the book. You aren't here. You're not physically anywhere near me, all right? Because if you were, you wouldn't say that. But I said to Mr. Henry, if you call something Baby Done Gone Wild, then that bespeaks the hillbilly. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right?
If you tell me that brings Billy, it brings a Billy out in me, I would say to you,
go ahead. What do you want to say to me? You want to make a gay joke?
No, sir.
All right, look, let me just resolve this, gentlemen. I think that Mr. Danger has a way of putting things that I have to ask you, Mr. Bozell, while it might be a rather acerbic, why did you call it Baby Done Gone Wild?
I thought at the time that for whatever reason, I can assure you I've been to school, sir. I can assure you I've been to school, sir.
All right, sir, if you've been to school, then how about showing us, you know, why don't you show us what grade you graduated?
I graduated as a senior in high school, sir. I graduated as a senior in high school.
Then why is it called Baby Done Gone Wild?
I was going to say, if you let me say.
Go ahead.
At the time that we come up with the Baby Go Wild concept, and I'd ask my wife, I said, is it Girls Gone Wild? Is it A Girl Went Wild? What is the name of it? Tell me in the name of God, what is it? And my wife kept laughing, and we felt we had a very good idea, but she had to research it. And she came over.
Wait a minute. What do you got to research, sir? This is something that was on TV, or it wasn't on TV, but they were selling the tapes.
I said to my wife, is it called Girl Go Wild, or what is it? And she goes, A Girl Went Wild. And I said, is that the name of it? She said, no, but that was what happened. I said, what's the name of it? And she said, I think it's Girl Gone Wild or something like that.
Oh, my God. You don't even know it's called Girls Gone Wild, okay?
All right. That's the name of it. And you don't mind, sir, and I've got no animosity, racism or anything. But if you don't mind, I'm not going to take a gay man's word for it, if you don't mind.
No, you don't take a gay man's word for it, whatever you do, sir. Go ahead and start a company called Baby Done Gone Wild. That's fine.
All right, so what we have here is, Mr. Bozell, you couldn't quite get the name of Joe Francis's tapes straight in your head, so you went and you approximated it?
Yes, sir. I just said let's do one about a baby because I've got an idea on baby.
On baby or babies?
On babies, okay? I'm very nervous.
All right, you're doing fine. Go ahead, Doug. Just give him a break.
So I said, let's do Baby Done Gone Wild 2. And my wife said, that's a good name for it. And I said, not 2. I said, well, it'll be the first one. She goes, yeah, no, but Baby Done Gone Wild 2. And they said, don't do that because they'll think it's Volume 2. Even if it's spelled T-O-O. I'm sorry? Even if it's spelled T-O-O. What is? The tape you're going to do on Baby Done Gone Wild. You said it's Baby Done Gone Wild 2?
Yeah.
Is that T-O-O or the numeral 2? I'm not familiar. I don't...
Sir, obviously they thought that it would be confusing if people thought it was Volume 2, as in the numeral 2.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. Oh, my God! That's all I'm trying to say. All right, well, I apologize. I didn't know. And so we come out with Baby Done Gone Wild.
What was Baby Done Gone Wild? What was the concept?
The concept was very simple. You take babies... And you get any variety that you want, maybe about 5 of them, and you put them in a room, and we had little dip, tiny little containers that you usually see cottage cheese come in, only the cottage cheese got et. You love that? Man, I tell you, you have got...
All right, Doug, please.
I mean, man, I'm trying real hard. I'm trying real hard not to hold you being gay against you. I'm trying real hard, man. Well, don't do me any favors. All right,
listen, I don't want to hear that kind of talk, Mr. Bozell, if you don't mind.
Well, what about what he's doing?
He's being a smartass. I don't want to hear your homophobia.
So you asked me what is Baby Done Gone Wild.
Yeah, what is Baby... I know what Girls Gone Wild is. Now you got a tape called Baby Done Gone Wild.
Yeah, and as you say that, I realize how far off the mark we got. I realize now that it was called Girls Gone Wild. How could we ever have gone to Baby Done Gone Wild? And I feel that that's one of the problems that this series had. And had my wife been paying more attention and wrote it down good, that we would have had a more successful series.
Okay, now that we know what the business model's problem was, tell me what the show was about or what the tapes were about.
All right. You take a you grab a few babies, you put them in a room, you grab a few.
Doug, please.
You take some babies and put them in a room. And in the room with the babies are small cottage cheese containers that have been emptied out. And in them, they have different paint. And it's also colored to look like dip. So, or not colored to look, it's dip, but it's colored different color. You understand?
It's dip.
Yeah, that's so in case the baby wants to eat it, it's not going to hurt them. And you just put babies and colored dip in a room with a canvas. And then when the baby and the baby done gone wild part is where the babies, you put enough babies in a room full of dip, what do you think's going to happen? Well, I don't know. I mean, if I could answer that, I don't know what's going to happen. Well, I mean, Mr. Dangert, if you put babies in a room and they got a diaper full, they're going to take it out and start to, you know, maybe clean their, you know, start throwing it around, doing what, you know, whatever anybody else would do. And what anybody else would do, yes, sir. Are you trying to tell me that an adult, sir, I think if you had a diaper full, or not a diaper, but if it was in your, wouldn't you take it out and throw it? No, I don't, sir. I think probably what I'd do is dispose of it as gingerly as I could and take a very, very long shower and then ask myself at the end of that process why I even did that. All right, Mr. Andrew, I didn't come on your program to be laughed at.
Mr. Bozell, you make statements that are pretty bizarre. If I had a diaper full, wait a minute, I don't wear diapers, but oh, you say, okay, what about my underwear? I don't understand that. Let's just get back to the story of Baby Done Gone Wild. So it's babies in a room with different colored dip.
Yes, sir, the different colored dip. And in my opinion, and my wife's opinion too, the baby would naturally take the dip and they would begin to attack each other. I mean, there would be a natural, I guess you could call it a competitiveness between, and the natural baby rivalry. And so they would begin to square off using these different colored dips. Now, what do you mean by natural baby rivalry? I don't know what that means. I'm Doug Danger. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I understand that probably there's a lot of stuff I don't understand. But what the hell does that mean? Sir, yeah, exactly. You're gay?
Yeah.
All right, so you don't understand the natural rivalries in nature. Now,
natural rivalries in nature. So these babies are in a room full of multicolored dips. And
no, the dips aren't multicolored. They're just different colored dip, but each dip's got a color. What color? What's the flavor of the blue dip? Oh, I hate you so much. I'm not kidding, Phil. I want to know. What's the flavor of the blue dip?
You got a blue dip, right?
Yeah, I guess we got a blue dip. Yes, sir. What's the flavor? I think it's blueberry or something like that. Blueberry dip? What kind of, what do you, is it yogurt or dip, man? It's dip. Okay, you fairy. Fairy! Yeah!
Oh!
Well, Phil, why'd you hang up?
I didn't hang up. They both hung up. That is the funniest damn thing I think I've ever heard.
Dad, start to call him a fairy.
When Bozell lost his temper, called Danger a fairy, and the way Danger reacted, which was like he'd almost been hoping for that.
That's what I'm talking about. Danger, for all we know, is on his way over to Bozell's house right now.
I hope so. That whole baby done gone wild, I've heard some, you know what, if Bozell was related to me, I'd have that guy looked at. I would put him in for 72 hours just to be safe.
Well, I mean, he's not hurting nobody. You got to put somebody in 72 hours, you're going to hurt somebody.
Well, at least I'd have him evaluated, because any guy that is talking that crap, he must be imagining things.
Like what?
What are you talking about? Baby done gone wild, put him in a room full of multicolored dips. What color's the blue dip? Oh, blueberry. Wait a minute. And the natural rivalry between babies, let it happen. I'm telling you right now. And this guy's married? And his wife helped him with this idea?
Women know about babies, obviously.
Well, this woman doesn't. Whoever he's married to doesn't know anything. Let's call it Baby Done Gone Wild and see what happens when you put a group of babies in a room with dip. I might like the idea of the dip and the babies. I don't think you're going to get anything on canvas.
Yeah, but if the babies take the dip out and a natural rivalry takes over, that's what Mr. Bozell is trying to say.
But about what natural rivalry?
When the natural instinct of a babies to do battle with each other.
What are you talking about, man?
Well, babies are going to...
What do we do battle with each other?
Well, that's the thing we read in that book, and Bud's got it all wrong. And I told you, Bud, we're looking at a history book, right?
Yeah.
And they had dug up archaeological find.
Yeah, they found baby fossil.
They found baby fossils.
Yeah, and swords and shields.
And it looked like there'd been some kind of battle over a 5-day period.
Okay, you guys are nuts. You know that?
Well, wait a minute. If this is real history, you're talking about a real archaeological dig.
Yeah, it was in Great Britain, and it was an archaeological dig, and they did it in Great Britain.
Yeah.
And they found baby fossils with swords and shields, and it looked like there'd been a battle over a 5-day period.
Yeah, because there'd been all kinds of slaughter.
Yeah, a lot of the baby heads were lopped off. Everything.
I think you guys are... I don't think you read the story right then.
Why?
Because it probably's got... Maybe they were infants that were slaughtered. Maybe it was an infant burial ground. Maybe it was a lot of... You know, if you take one era and then you have another era, a lot of stuff is buried in the same place over hundreds of years.
No. This was all in the same strata.
Yeah, same ground, everything.
Oh, the same strata. Well, excuse me, Dr. Leakey. The same strata.
That's what the guy said on TV.
That it was from the same period.
Yeah, he said it was from the same period, and they were very certain... That some kind of a baby, well, I called it baby geddon, but they said...
Baby geddon.
Well, I think it's fascinating. It bears getting someone on from the British Museum.
No, I'm not going to do that.
And why wouldn't you?
I'm not going to embarrass myself in this show by getting somebody on from the British Museum and asking them about baby geddon. Is that cool with you?
Mr. Henry, it's worth...
Is that cool with you? Because that's what's going to happen.
Okay, ma'am, you may be blowing it.
Yeah, I'm blowing it all right. Yeah. Hello, British Museum? Yeah. Have you got a doctor there or anybody that could talk to us about the possibility that there was a huge battle between babies thousands of years ago?
They didn't say thousands.
Well, how long ago was it?
They said probably about 2000 BC.
Okay, that's 4,000 years ago.
It is?
Yes, 4,000 years ago. 4,000 years ago, a battle over several days between babies in armor, helmets, and with swords.
Yeah.
We'll be right back, folks. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And based on that, we've got a videotape called Baby Done Gone Wild that's stiffed.
Well, you don't know if it's stiff.
Yes, I do know that it's stiffed. This jackball comes on here. Do you see any videotapes of Baby Gone Wild?
I ain't looked for him yet.
We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is a bitch.
Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And remember, at philhendryshow.com, we are online and ready to be of service. I want to thank the great Steve Dahl. We were on Steve Dahl's show today. And if you head over to Steve Dahl's website, you'll find out the schedule of the various guests that he has. Steve Dahl is one of the longtime, a guy that I call one of the founders of modern talk radio. And I have to say that because there are very few suits, people in the hallways of power in broadcasting that even want to acknowledge that guys like Dahl or Howard Stern or others, you know, had a pivotal part to play in just exactly how talk radio sounds today. And so it was fun being on the air with Steve. We're going to also be a part of another very, very talented guy's podcast, Jay Moore. More stories, and we are going to be a part of that, and Jay has been nice enough to reciprocate. He'll be on the Bobby Dooley podcast himself very, very soon, and we've got some other folks lined up. Sugar Ray Leonard is ahead on the Bobby Dooley podcast, and part two of the Joel McHale Bobby Dooley interview dropped today at iTunes and elsewhere, so you might want to check that out. Now I just saw something else freeze. It looks like my computer is freezing up on me here. This is a very, very bizarre and crazy scene, man. It's a nutty scene. All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and just a couple of other things that we want to get into here before we clear out. We were talking about the Catholic League.
Yeah.
And this is a Catholic basketball league that was being proposed by Georgetown. I guess it's actually happening, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to have Georgetown going to be a Catholic league along with Butler and along with Xavier and a few others.
Right. Speaking of basketball, other news that might make a little bit more sense. There is going to be a basketball team in the great city of Sacramento, California, and guess which one that's going to be? You got it, the Sacramento Kings. Mayor Kevin Johnson says Sacramento is back in the ballgame. Sacramento's back in the ballgame, and after announcing that two investors want to buy the NBA Kings and build a downtown arena to stop the protest move of the city's only major league sports team to Seattle. Now, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? The Seattle Supersonics split. And here comes the Sacramento Kings to Seattle, and just exactly what's happening, we don't know.
Well, that doesn't mean it's not a good basketball town. That just simply means that there was not support or sufficient support.
Well, there might not be sufficient support. What are you talking about?
Talking about the basketball team that leave Seattle?
Yes, if the Seattle Super whatever, what are they called?
Supersonics.
If the Seattle, and where did they go?
Oklahoma City.
Why are they called, what's Oklahoma City called?
Called the Thunder.
I don't understand.
What difference does it make?
Well, if you called them the Super, hold on. I didn't do it into the microphone.
You know something, Margaret.
I didn't do it into the microphone. If you call a team the Supersonics, and then you call the team the Thunder, I don't understand.
All right, well, whatever. So what's the point?
The point is Seattle had a team. They didn't like that one. They like this one better. That's all.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that. Okay?
Really? Do you want to yell a little more, Bud?
Margaret, that's right in my ear.
Well, would you tell him to stop?
Bud, you don't have to yell.
I'm just trying to say. Are you trying to say that? What are you trying to say?
I'm saying if they didn't like the Seattle Supersonics and they wanted... They want a better team.
They didn't like the Seattle Supersonics, so they wanted to shop for a better... That's not how it works. That's not how it works. What happened was there was a dispute between Seattle, probably in the city, God knows what, and Seattle Supersonics split. Now the Seattle City people are willing to work for another team. Sacramento wants to go there. I don't know, but I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that Seattle said, oh, let's get rid of this one and go for the Kings. You know, maybe it did. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com for all of your live streaming video needs. I know that we have a kind of a squirrely video here in the latter stages of the show. It was stopping and starting and I don't know. We will see you guys later on. Don't forget to get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. Don't forget about the Bobby Dooley podcast that dropped today. Don't forget about all kinds of stuff that I don't want you to forget about. Visit the shop. Get a hat. Get a mug. Get a shirt. Get a Ted Bell hoodie. Get something. Do something. Be something. Be all you can be. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.